Our lesson this morning is out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 17, overcoming the error that the church faces the tribulation. Paul's epistles to the believers at Thessalonica addressed new converts out of raw paganism who faced persecution and false teaching, a recipe for spiritual defeat if they failed to get adequate spiritual insight. The main aim of Paul in this second epistle to the Thessalonians was to counter his readers' fear that they were then experiencing the tribulation. And Paul handled this issue in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 to 17, so we view it for our insight. I'd like to start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Father, we thank you for your grace to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fact that we have the indwelling Spirit of God within us to illuminate the Word of God to us. After all, he did author it through holy men of God of old, and then to rely upon him so that we can understand it and apply it. So we ask for wisdom to utilize all of these ministries of the Spirit of God that we might understand and apply this passage for edification. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, what I'd like to do is read the passage, and then we'll look at it. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. Let me read it first. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as if it were from us, that the day of Christ, actually a better reading is the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away or an apostasy first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And you know that which withholdeth, that he might be revealed until his time. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying miracles, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned that believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you unto salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Okay, Paul's readers had heard that they were already experiencing the day of the Lord in 2 Thessalonians 2:2. The King James Version reads day of Christ in this verse, but the better Greek manuscripts read day of the Lord, the era that begins with the tribulation period and includes Christ's second coming, the millennial kingdom, the creation of the new universe. Well, since the day of the Lord begins with the tribulation period and life under the Antichrist, Paul's readers were shaken and alarmed by what they'd heard. So Paul wrote to counter this error by urging his readers not to be upset. And he appealed to the rapture in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. The rapture he referred to as the believers gathering together unto Christ at his coming. Paul had predicted this, you'll remember, back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And that was the cause for the believers to be at peace concerning the tribulation. And that means that the rapture must be occurring before the tribulation. If the rapture causes us to be at peace and comforted in regards to the tribulation, it's got to be before the tribulation. Because if it comes after the tribulation or during the tribulation, it's not much of a comfort. Okay? Now, Paul then clarified this pre-tribulation rapture with 2 Thessalonians 2, 3-17 as follows. To preface his remarks about the events that must occur before the tribulation period starts, Paul told his readers not to let anyone deceive them into thinking that they were facing the tribulation. Incidentally, there are many Christians today, many evangelical Christians who are worried and afraid because of what they see happening, that the tribulation is upon them. And the Apostle Paul worked hard here to indicate that that's not the case. So don't be deceived. There's a tremendous tendency for people to be deceived in regards to this reference of the Great Tribulation. We're not supposed to let that happen. Then Paul named three events, and they're not necessarily in order. He named three events that occur before the tribulation. First of all, there will be a falling away. The Greek words are he, which is the article apostasia. Apostasia is the word from which we get the word apostasy. Now, there are some who like to translate apostasy as the rapture, but the rapture, apostasy, and nowhere else ever refers to rapture. Apostasia means falling away, and it's in a negative sense of falling away from God and from the truth. Okay, there will be a greatly accelerated growth in depth of theological error. Now, of course, there's a lot of error that's going on today, but there's going to be a tremendous growth in this, a tremendous departure from the truth that you and I hold to. Also, the man of sin, that's the Antichrist, will be revealed as exalting himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the Hebrew temple trying to present himself as God, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3b-5. Now, he's going to do that in the middle of the Great Tribulation, but nevertheless, he does do it in the tribulation. In addition, this is very, very important, this last part. In addition, an entity, it's not described here, but an entity that restrains all this lawlessness, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:6-9, is removed so that the lawlessness can be revealed. And this entity has got to be the Holy Spirit who is in believers in the church, who is removed when believers are removed. When are they removed? The rapture. Let me explain this. Though there's wickedness in the world today, much of it is still hidden as a mystery. Remember, the word mystery in the New Testament refers to something that at one time is hidden and that at another time is revealed. So what's happening is there is wickedness in the world, but the real bulk of this wickedness is still hidden. It's not going to be revealed until after the rapture. And then the covers are going to be stripped off and everybody's going to see what this thing is really, really like. So there is wickedness in the world, but much of it is still hidden as a mystery until a restrainer, I notice I capitalized it because I know it's the Holy Spirit, who is holding back the revelation of this intense wickedness is removed. Now, the restrainer is not Satan, for Satan does not oppose himself. Jesus brought this out in Matthew 12, 25 and 26. He says, if Satan is fighting against himself, his house will not stand. So Satan's not going to fight against himself. He's not restraining himself. If Satan had his druthers, he'd be pulling back the covers right now. He'd be having his man of sin right now. But it's not Satan. Nor could it be human governments, because human governments will not end before the Antichrist is unveiled. The sole entity who is strong enough to restrain Satan, remember, Satan is the most powerful being that God created. So the only entity strong enough to restrain Satan, who empowers the Antichrist, is God the Holy Spirit. And he indwells and seals believers in Christ, and he's removed with believers at the rapture. See, the Holy Spirit is in you. He's in me right now as believers, and we're here on the earth. And the Holy Spirit has a tremendous restraining influence through us. My father once said that there was a man that he knew who had been saved out of witchcraft and demonism. And he said this man told him that before he was saved, when he would walk down the street corner, the demons would point out Christians And he said, that man is a Christian, that man's a Christian. And the demons would warn them, stay away from him because they're very, very dangerous. Okay? They didn't want these Christians witnessing to them, that's why. But the demons know what's going on. And just the very presence, if you know Christ is your Savior, you go into a shopping center or you go into the grocery store, the Holy Spirit in you is having an influence already on everything around you. We might not recognize it, but he's very powerful. And then by our body language, by the way we act, we automatically have an influence on people around us. Sometimes unsaved people will come up and they will recognize that you're a Christian just because of the way you're functioning. You don't have to you don't have to try very hard to be a witness. You are a witness that way. They know you're different, that you're unique. Anyway, the Holy Spirit is restraining the world through the believer. So the rapture comes before the Antichrist is revealed to be the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist might be alive right now. I think there's a very good chance that he is alive. But he cannot be revealed as the Antichrist until after the Holy Spirit is removed. And he's revealed as such, as the Antichrist, at the start of the seven-year tribulation by his making a seven-year treaty with Israel, as predicted in Daniel 9:27. Now, that peace treaty with Israel is for 7 years. In the middle of the peace treaty, he breaks it. Let me give you the diagram here at the front of the church. Remember, we have the piano at the rapture, and at the second coming, we have the organ. Everything in between is a seven-year tribulation. So what happens is the man of sin makes the peace treaty with Israel right at that part of the stage, right after the rapture. Halfway through it, 3.5 years into it, at the pulpit, he breaks the treaty, and then he goes after Israel to try to annihilate Israel for the last 3.5 years. So the rapture comes before the Antichrist is revealed to be the Antichrist. That's at that end of the stage. And he's revealed as such at the start of the seven-year tribulation by his making a seven-year treaty with Israel as predicted in Daniel 9:27. The rapture thus occurs before the start of the seven-year tribulation. That's very, very important because there are some who believe in the mid-tribulation rapture. Since the last half of the Great Tribulation is often called, even by Jesus, as the Great Tribulation, there are people who believe that the tribulation that the Bible's referring to means this last 3.5 year period, so that the church will go through the first 3.5 years of the Antichrist and be raptured right here at the pulpit. That's not true. The reason is God is sending the Antichrist into the world to judge the world. And we are supposed to be gone. The Holy Spirit, the restrainer, is supposed to be gone so that the Antichrist can be revealed. He's revealed over there at the front end of the seven-year period of time. So the rapture occurs back there at the piano. It does not occur back here at the pew, at the pulpit. And I wrote here at number IV, the mid-tribulation rapture view that the church is raptured after Antichrist has been revealed in the first half of the tribulation errs. For the rapture occurs before the Antichrist is revealed. One of the reasons why the Antichrist is revealed and he's revealed to deceive, the deception of Satan itself and the deception of the Antichrist is part of the judgment of God. You'll notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for that cause, because they rejected the gospel of Christ during the church age, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And the lie would be the Antichrist is God or the Antichrist is Christ. That they all might be condemned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Part of the judgment of God is not necessarily at the time when all of the fireworks pop up at between the pulpit and the organ. Part of the judgment of God is allowing people to be deceived into thinking that the Antichrist is Jesus Christ. And that's going to happen here. Well, you and I are not supposed to be exposed to that because we've believed in Christ. We're not guilty of that sin. So we've got to be out of here before that whole judgment occurs on the world. So that's another reason why even during the less traumatic time of the first half of the tribulation, the rapture has to have occurred already. We have to be gone. Now, Paul wrote that God would punish the world in the seven-year great tribulation by letting them believe that Antichrist is God to condemn those who reject Christ in the previous church era. However, in sharp contrast to this destiny of a Christ-rejecting world, since Paul's readers had believed in Christ to be saved, God had chosen them unto the salvation of the rapture and the reception of the glory of Christ through sanctification of the Holy Spirit and belief in the truth of Christ's gospel. The word salvation, Calvinists love to say that he has chosen you from the beginning unto salvation. That means God's chosen you to believe the gospel. No, that's not what the word salvation here means. The salvation he's talking about is the rapture, and I'll tell you why. You notice he's chosen you through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Because of your belief in the truth, he's chosen you. So what's happened is God foresaw people who would believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And in view of that, he selected them from the very beginning, way, way, way back in eternity, so that they would be raptured. They'd be out of this world before the Antichrist was revealed. Whereunto, verse 14, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When do you obtain the glory of Jesus Christ? At the rapture. Not when you're justified. You don't receive his glory yet. We receive his glory only when the salvation is applied to the body. And we're out of here and we go to be with the Lord in heaven. So Paul's readers were to stand fast in the comforting belief in the pre-tribulation rapture that they might not become unproductive and living in fear, but flourish in every good word and work. Notice verse 15 and 16 and 17. Therefore, brothers, in view of all what I've told you, stand fast. Hold to the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ and God, even our Father, who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through Christ, comfort your hearts. How can your hearts be comforted if you're going to face the man of sin? They can't be. You're worried sick because you know what you're going to face. But Paul says, no, you're out of here. The rapture occurs before he's revealed. So may he comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. See, when people are deathly afraid that they're going to face the Antichrist, they're not going to be relaxed and productive in serving the Lord. They're going to be living in fear. In fact, some people may want to build a fort somewhere and, you know, save up some years of canned food somewhere and hide out because they want to hide from the man of sin. In fact, there are some people who actually believe that. So they have these forts in the Midwest and other places, trying to hide from the man of sin. There's no need for that. We're going to be gone. We're going to be raptured. So God wants us to be established in every good word and work and to be comforted and to relax. And, of course, when we see the day approaching, we should be all the more fervent in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing people come to know Christ as their Savior. So the lesson is there will be a strong apostasy and the removal of the Holy Spirit who restrains the revelation of the Antichrist to be the Antichrist when the rapture of the church occurs before the start of the seven-year tribulation. God will use the tribulation to punish a Christ-rejecting world with the Antichrist's deception. Since we believers in Christ are raptured before the tribulation, we are to be comforted that we might produce good words and works. So may we rest in the hope of the pre-tribulation rapture and thus abound in good works and good words. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson itself. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up or if you have a concern about another issue, please feel free to address that or discuss that, and we'll go ahead.